Well, good morning from me, along with all the other good mornings that we've gotten today. So good morning. Good to see everybody here today. It's always a wonderful service, our communion service, when we take communion. The richness of thinking about our relationship with the Lord, the richness about thinking about all that He did for us, to remember the cross, to remember Christ. I always have a little trepidation when I come up to preach on the communion Sunday, because it's like, okay, so don't blow it and ruin the rest of the day. You know, that kind of thing, you know, because you think about that kind of stuff, or at least I do. I don't know if you guys do or not. But you know what? Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're finishing up the book here. We're looking at this last section for the second time. We're gonna look at it a few more times, probably about four or five more times as we go through here. But we're looking at this section in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a second time. It's Paul's concluding words. In this, he lays out for us his concerns for himself and for them. It's really kind of in a narrative. He's been talking to them about their life and about how they had believed false teachers, and they should have believed him. He's comparing his life to the false teachers. He's doing this in the flesh. He's been going through all of this. We've talked about that a lot, but in this end here, he's sharing with us his concerns for himself and for them. And the big topic that we looked at last week that we began to study here was, here are some true concerns of a pastor. And here are some primary concerns for us also. In all of this, since they're true concerns or primary concerns for a pastor, what we're doing is we're looking at, okay, so what are the true concerns or the primary concerns that we want to have as believers in Christ, as Christians? That's the big topic. That's what we're looking at. We're doing it for quite a few weeks here, like I've said. And it's important. You know what's spiritually healthy for us? For God to speak through His Word and show us in His Word and show us in His life for us and His purpose for us, that we would have some primary concerns in our life. We got so many concerns, right? You guys all would agree. We got concerns about everything, and that's what we talked about last week. But here in our study, we're looking at some primary ones that we're to have as Christians. And to know the primary ones God wants us to have, you know, we could lay them out and say, now, this isn't every one that we're to have. But in our own heart, we could say, you know, I want to honor God. I want to learn His Word. I want to walk by following Christ. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to honor Him. You might say some in some different ways than Paul did, but they're all captured in here as we go through here and talk about this. All these truths that we know in our heart that God would want us to have as our primary concerns in this life as believers in Christ. Paul here is writing about himself, and he tells us, let me just give you a little overview of it. His concern is with perseverance. We looked at that last week. No matter what, no matter the challenge, no matter what goes on, his desire was to remain faithful to his calling. No matter the persecution, the challenges, the difficulties he faced, Paul remained faithful to God and to God's word and to God's calling upon his life. That would be a concern for us. That would be a primary one for us. We looked at it last week. And here in our text, as we would look at the whole context of all of it, Paul said his concern was to sacrifice for others, to give himself for this church, to have selfless love for others in his life. In regard to his ministry, he said this, that his concern was honesty. He wanted to have complete honesty in the ministry he's serving. He didn't want to talk out of the side of his mouth. He didn't want to do things that were a little bit untruthful. He wanted to have complete truthfulness in all that he was doing, that this was his desire. This was a priority for him, a concern for him. Because the priority of priorities, he'll get to the middle of it, and we'll get there one day, of the concerns for Paul was to have a reverence for God in all he did. Well, we would agree with that, right? That's a concern for you, is it not? That's a concern for you and for me and for all to have a reverence for God, to honor God in all of our choices and decisions and actions and attitudes, that we want to have that in our life, that would be a concern for us. I'm sure you guys would agree with me on that one, right? That's a primary concern for every Christian, that we want to honor God. We want to reverence for Him in all that we do. But all these go together, and so Paul continues, and he says that his other concerns were to edify the church, that he wanted to participate with God in building up what God is doing. He's building His church right now. That's what He's doing. Seeking the sanctification, the growth that God wants in all of our lives, in Paul's lives, toward holiness, holy living. This is what he says at the end. He's sharing with the church all that they've went through and all that we've studied and all that we've been. And he gets to the end here, and then he just shares his true concerns as the Apostle Paul, which look at the true concerns of a pastor. And in those, we see that here's some true concerns, some of them, the majority of them, that we would have as Christians. That's what Paul is writing this in a narrative way, and that's what we're delving into God's Word and studying and seeing in the whole of God's Scripture. It's not only here that these are said. I gave you a lot of Scriptures. It's all over the place that God would say, these are our primary concerns. Not that our other concerns aren't important. Not that we're not supposed to be doing the things that we would see in God's Word to do that, but this is an overview of the primary concerns. And like he said, we studied this. We're seeking to apply this to our lives as Christian believers. We're going to see these concerns. Now, we all know our lives are filled with many concerns. And I'm just bringing this up and letting you think about it for a moment and letting your mind dwell on it a little bit, thinking about all the things that you are concerned for this morning. You had a lot of concerns this morning, right? What are you going to wear? What's your hair look like? Is the makeup straight? Man, that looks a little crooked. I don't like that lipstick with this dress. I don't know. You know, guys, are you going to comb your hair today? You know, can you wear clean socks? You know, all of the things, you know, in simple life and all that kind of thing, but the concerns about, okay, so this was going on and that's going on, and deep, real concerns, and you see this in your family, or all of those. There's so much stuff that happens that can happen that fill all of our minds up, that take all of our thoughts with all these things. But it's good to know from God's Word the true concerns we're to make primary. Do you agree with that? You guys agree? All right, what does God want me to be concerned for? We might say it this way: help me, Lord, be concerned most about what you desire to me to be concerned most about. Because I got a lot of concerns. It's not that we shouldn't be concerned for things. But Lord, help me desire most what you desire for me to most be concerned about. You know, and we looked at that last week. So let's begin looking at verses 11 through 19. You there with me in chapter 12? Let's look at verses 11 through 19. Remember, Paul is concluding here all that he has said from chapter 10 and on. And look what he says. He writes in verse 11 through 19. Read it with me. He says, I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me for this wrong. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Certainly, I've not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I've sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, all for your upbuilding, beloved. Now, when I read that, you really see he's kind of concluding a letter, right? And all that he said. And it's a narrative. He's just talking about, did we do this? Did we do that? So he's writing in something they would understand and they would pick up on, and he's talking to them in that. And in that, he's bringing out what concerned him about himself and about them, and that's what he's sharing with us. And as we look at God's Word, what would concern the Apostle Paul would what we would want to be make our concerns also. And then it's Scripture, so what Paul is writing, what concerns him, so God included it in the Word of God. What's concerning Paul should be concerning us. Now, we first saw last week that he says, I'm done with being foolish. If you look at verse 11, look what he said. He said, you know, I've become foolish in all the sharing that I've been doing and talking about my credentials in the flesh, comparing them to the false teachers and their credentials in the flesh. I'm done with being foolish, you guys. That was foolish. You guys should have commended me. I'm not going to compare my credentials with them anymore. You should have listened to me. You should have commended me. I'm the Apostle Paul, and I persevered and remained faithful in all that God has called me to do. That's what verse 7 says. He says, through all the difficulties, persecutions, through all the challenges the Apostle Paul faced, he says, with all perseverance, I remained faithful to my calling. And that's what we looked at last week. That's what we want to do. We want to persevere as a Christian in whatever your life is and whatever challenges you face and whatever's going on. You want to persevere. We looked at a lot of different scriptures about persevering and enduring and remaining faithful. You want to live like a Christian lives, do you not? That's a good place to say, yeah, we do, Pastor Ken. I want to live God's purpose for my life. No matter the challenge, no matter what came your way, no matter what comes Paul's way, he sought to remain faithful to God, to God's word, and to God's way for him and his calling. Now, as we applied this to ourselves last week, and we thought about this in our own lives, and we applied this to our own life. So what is my calling? As a believer in Christ, as a Christian, I can't give you all of them, but you understand God's word, you're learning it, and what God is asking us to be as a friend, as a family member, as a husband, as a whatever it might be. That's the calling in Christianity, a calling in our lives. You and me are to remain faithful to God's calling in our lives. As believers in Christ, it's a primary concern for us. That's what Paul is teaching, and that's what we looked at through all through God's word and a lot of verses that we looked at last week. That's all the way through the scriptures. Now, you might say, well, duh, Ken. Yeah, but is that a primary concern for us? A question arose from that last week. In all that you do in this life, is persevering to live like and for what God calls Christians to live like and for a primary concern for you? Only you can answer that question. Paul is saying it was for him, but that's all the only we can do is just say, well, I know my own life. Do I do it perfectly? No. Does God have to teach me some things? Absolutely. Is this a journey in my life? Yes, it is. But it is something in my heart. This is a concern for me. We did the parenting class this morning. That's just a great class where Pastor Craig is just sharing with us, just trying to mature our children so they mature and grow, and then see the truth of Christ, and see the hope of Christ, and that they have some maturity in their life, or some responsibility, some self-control, some wisdom. Well, every parent that was here today was looking in their own life and recognizing, well, I haven't truly been too much faithful in that. When I was listening to them today, it seems like in my mind, I could remember more times when I wasn't faithful than I was faithful. But I know I was faithful. But our mind kind of does that, doesn't it? It kind of thinks about, okay, I didn't do it there, I didn't do it there. So when I'm talking about remaining faithful to Christianity and what we looked at last week and what Paul was teaching and asking that question, is this a primary concern of my life to persevere in remaining faithful as a Christian? Well, absolutely, I'm going to see things where I haven't. That's the point. That's the point of God's word, isn't it? It reveals our heart, reveals our mind, it reveals where God wants to grow us, reveals that our weaknesses, reveals those things in our life that God is going to shape and mold and move us on. See, this is what Christianity is. This is what proclaiming God's word is. This is what teaching God's word. It's revealing to us God and God's plan and purpose for us and the incredible grace and the incredible love and all that God has done in our life and as he moves us on through his word. Nobody in the room is anywhere near arriving. We're all just going in a direction. So whether it be in your role in the body of Christ, where you're to serve or give or love, or to participate in the work of the ministry, or the role in your community as a believer, as a friend, or in your job, or to your neighbor, or to the lost, or your calling as a parent or spouse or in your marriage, are we persevering to live like Christ wants us to live? Is that a concern for our life? And I'm telling you that, remember what I said, speaking about these things, talking about this, and God showing us in our life, making these things a primary concern in our life is spiritually healthy for us. Because we all know we get overwhelmed with a lot of things. But God's word is clear. One of our primary concerns is to persevere in faithfulness to our Christianity, to his calling in our life. So that's what we looked at last week. We're going to look at one more this week. We're going to look at point 2 and what Paul talks about. It's in your outline there. Another concern that he has is to sacrifice or to have selfless love for others. That's what Paul's concern was to sacrifice or have selfless love for others. Listen to Paul's words in verse 13 through 16 with me. Listen to the word of God. Listen to Paul talk about his life and listen to his words. And I want you to hear what he's saying. And I want you to hear his concern in the midst of everything that Paul has got going on. Verse 13, "For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me of this wrong." Now, you guys remember that he has a lot of sarcasm. He's got some sarcasm in here because he's being the accusation against him in this area. What he's talking about, the accusation was, Paul's just in it to get your stuff. He's just been faithful. He's just been doing all these things. He's been hanging around. He's been doing this and serving you and do these kind of things because he wants your money. He wants your stuff. He wants your accolades. He wants you to recognize him. He wants you to give you things. And even though he didn't ask for anything when he was first here, he's a crafty guy. He's a crafty guy. And one day, you're going to have to pay up for all that Paul has given you. That was the accusation. So Paul's answering that. You know, that's the false message, the false teaching. That's not what this is about. That's not really selfless love. And see, he's comparing it to what they were making accusations to. No, I have selfless love. I wasn't trying to gain anything from you by being faithful to what God has called me to do. So let me take a moment and ask you a question. Ask your own heart. When you're seeking to be faithful in the things that God has called you to do, are you seeking to get something for it? Then it's not selfless love. God's already given us everything. God is for us. God is blessing us. God is faithful in our life. And yes, if we don't sin, if we go the right way, the blessings of God are more readily instilled in our life. We're not hindering them by, you know, it's like if you don't own up to your sin in your life, your prayer life with your wife cannot be as fruitful as God would want it to be. Yes, following God does bring benefits of God from us. But let me ask you that for a second. Are you loving? Are you being persevering? Are you doing the things that are in your life, sometimes in your heart, to get something? See, Paul is contrasting that right here. This is what he's teaching. He's sacrificing and have selfless love to get nothing back. Let me continue reading. And like I said, he was being sarcastic. "For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, verse 13, except that I myself did not become a burden to you. Forgive me for this wrong. Verse 14, here for this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I did not seek what was yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Look at verse 15, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I loved you more, am I to be loved less? Be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you away by deceit." Now you're kind of capturing the sarcasm there. Now simply in all of that, what Paul says is my concern was to sacrifice for others. When I was there and I was ministering and I'm serving and all that, my concern was to have selfless love for you. He says, I treated you like I treated all the other churches. I did my very best not to be a burden to you. I never sought what was yours. And look at verse 15 again. He said this, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. God uses those two Greek words for a reason. Spend. It's a money term. Paul said, I spend my life for you. That's selfless love. I'm spending all of my life for you, that I was expended. That means that's another money term. That's another transaction term, that I gave all of my energy, all of me, and all of my effort for your soul. And I wasn't seeking anything from you. I was seeking you. See, this is what selfless love is. This is what sacrifice is about. We did communion today. Christ gave his life on the cross, right? To pay the penalty for our sins, right? Did he seek any monetary gain from it? Did he seek any fame or fortune or wealth or anything like that? What does Christ want from the selfless, sacrificial life that he gave? What does he want from us? What would you guys say? Obedience, right? Faithfulness to him, right? Right? Because he saved us, he rescued us, he delivered us from our sin. He actually restored our relationship back with God, and so he wants us in a relationship to be faithful to us in that relationship. Good. What else would you say? What does he want? He wants your heart, right? He wants you, right? Now, let me ask you, if you give your heart to God, and if you just surrender it to the Lord and let God lead your life and guide your life, and you are in a relationship with God and you've given your heart, is there any greater thing in this earth to ever do? Come on, you guys, is there? Is that true? Is it absolutely true that if you give your life to Christ, that he loved you and he died on the cross, selfless, sacrificial, and just gave his life, emptied himself, was spent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did that, and all he wants from you is your love, right? Reciprocal, right? All he wants is you. He just wanted, he gave himself so you could know him, so he could have you and you could have him in a love relationship. All he wants is that. Is that the greatest thing that you would ever want anybody to have on this earth? Come on, you guys. Then why is it so hard for us to not really be forthright and forceful and bold and excited about, hey, this is the greatest thing on the planet to have? Hey, it's Easter month, you guys. The resurrection power of Christ. This is what is in Paul's life. This is what he is living. He's understanding the love of Christ that has been shown him, the selfless love of God, the sacrificial love of God is the greatest thing anybody could have. Parents, let me ask you, what's the number one thing on the top of your list that you want for your kids? It's the number one thing, kids. You young people, it's the number one thing. Because you know, after that, everything's gravy. I'm glad that you're smart, and I'm glad that you know these things, and I'm glad that you can play a musical instrument, and I'm glad that you're... But when you know Christ, the things that come from Christ are humility and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and love and peace and joy and morality and holiness. And the things that come from a relationship with Christ, these just come out of a relationship with Christ. They come from God being interactive in our life, and that's what we want for him. See, Paul is giving his life, spending his life for others, selfless, sacrificial love. He said, I sacrifice for your souls. I was spent doing it. He required no payment. He wasn't seeking any. He said, I love the Lord with selfless love, expending all my energy to do so. I loved you. The accusations of the false teachers were that Paul somehow was in it for the money, the favor, the stuff, even though he didn't require payment from them. That's why the sarcastic in there. They were believing that. Sarcastically, he says, forgive me for this wrong of never taking payment. Yeah, I'm just a crafty fellow. I'm sacrificing selfless love to take you in away by deceit. That was the accusation. He never did. Paul never did. Paul lived for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lay your life down for others. You can see it all over the scriptures, to sacrifice and have selfless love for others. He understood the words of Jesus in Acts 20, 33, it is better to give than to receive. Listen to what he said to the Philippian church. Let me just read it to you. It's in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 17. He said this, but even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Listen, he sought to love like Christ loves us, selflessly, sacrificially. He sought nothing in return for his love. You guys are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, aren't you? That whole love thing, right? It's at the weddings and that kind of thing. Are you familiar with verses 4, 5, and 6? Can you guys help me? Love is, what's the first one? Love is, all right, good. You guys got, then the next one, love is, and then love does, is not jealous, right? And love does not brag, it is not arrogant. I want you to listen to one phrase in chapter 5. Love does not seek its own. You know the true love, the love of God? The love that God wants us to have for us does not seek its own. To love others, to sacrifice for them, to have selfless love. You do not seek material return. You do not seek acclaim or accolations, or you don't seek temporal benefits. It's love given, that reflects God's love given to you. That was shared today, wasn't it? Esther, that was shared today, wasn't it? Yeah. And that's what it is. Sarah, you shared a little bit about that today, too. Where'd Sarah go? There you are. That's what it is. We love because he first loved us. See, it's reflexive. Is that the right word? Reciprocal. That's the right word. That's the right word. I got the right word. It's reciprocal. And Paul says, if I loved you more, should you love me less? See, they're missing something. They're missing something in their relationship with Paul and what God is doing there, because the false teachers were saying things and doing the things, and Paul doesn't want them to miss that. He says, my concern was selfless love. That's what you want to have a primary concern in your life. We don't love God to get something in return. God doesn't love us to get something material or in return. His love promotes our love for him and for others. That's what it is. To have selfless love was Paul's concern. Let me say something to the kids that are here today, the children and young adults. Are you guys here today? Can you see me? Wave at me if you can see me. Look at you. Look at them. They're all waving. That's good. Can I tell you something about your parents? You guys ready? You know your parents love you? They absolutely love you, don't they? They love you a lot. You're their kids. They love you. You know, they give them themselves. They sacrifice for themselves. They have selfless love. They want the very best for you and all of those kind of things. And they share it with you, and they encourage you about it. They talk about their love for you. You see it in their life and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you, you know why they love you that way? Is it because you're so cute? Bottom line, they want you to see the love of God. Yes, they're a human being, and yes, they love their kids, and that comes out. But they make choices in their life to sacrifice for you, to have selfless love. It's not about they gain anything from you. That's what Paul meant when he said, hey, children aren't supposed to save up for their parents. Parents are supposed to, right, take care of their children, right? They're supposed to love selflessly and give to them and sacrifice. But what they want you to see, the overall thing they want you to see, is the love of Christ, because Christ loved them that way. That's really, you know why they correct you and they discipline you and they teach you and they train you and they spend that time doing and all that, and then they say, can you forgive me when I didn't do that to you? You know why they do all of that? Because that's what the love of God looks like. That's what the love, and they want you to capture the love of God. They want you to understand the love of God in your maturing, in your wisdom that Pastor Craig talked about today, and in your self-control and in your responsibilities that you're learning. They want you to see the relationship with God as a love relationship, that he loved you and you can love him through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me show you this a little bit more of the selfless love. Can you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12? Now, let me just show you a little bit more in the Word of God, and I got a lot of verses down in there because this is a concern for the believer in Christ. This is a primary concern of our life. Yes, we want to persevere, remain faithful to all that God calls us to, and he's working that in our life. And then here, we want to have selfless love. We want to sacrifice. We want to be sacrificial for the Lord and love like he loved. That's a primary concern. God's going to work that in our life. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me just show you this a little bit more in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now look at this with me. Here Paul's writing to a young church a few months in. Let's just say less than 6 months this church has been going on. So everybody in the church has been saved less than 6 months. There's no family history of Christianity going on here. There's just people that have come to faith in Christ. Here they are. The power of God's worked in their life. Life is transformed. Now they're trying to be faithful to God. And Paul's talking to them about the love that he has for them. And I want you to see the selfless love. Look at what he says, chapter 2, verse 1. He says this, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our gospel to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. Now listen to that for a moment. So they're over here in Philippi, and they got much opposition. They're persecuted. It's not really going real well. People don't like you. They don't like Paul. They don't like the message. You're messing up their religiosity. You know, he said they're being mistreated. And then they come over to Thessalonica, and they come over, and they said, in much opposition, we had boldness to tell you about the love of God. Now, that's selfless love, isn't it? Come on, you guys. Isn't that selfless love? Well, you know what? I went over here and I was at work and I shared the gospel with this guy. I shared about the love of Christ. And you know what? They went and told another person. Now, those people don't like me. But Dave over there, Dave's in my life. And so I'm going to go right over here. I'm going to be bold with the gospel of God. I'm going to have selfless love because I'm not going to let that there's something difficult that happens with standing for Christ hinder me of selflessly, sacrificially loving that person. That's selfless, isn't it? That's what I want you to see, isn't it? Yeah, it is, isn't it? See, Paul's mind isn't on, oh, look at the consequence here. Look at the difficulty here. He's saying, no, this is what we're here to do. We're to have sacrificial love for people. Look at verse 3. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. Listen, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't water down the gospel. Love doesn't give it in error or impurity or try to deceive anybody. He said, no, we can't. Our exhortation, what we came and said to you and what we shared with you was by no error, had no impurity, and wasn't by way of deceit. Look at verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, you might want to circle that and put your name right in the middle of it. Because every believer in Christ, listen up, every believer in Christ, you have been entrusted with the gospel and you've been approved by God to share it. You got a document in your pocket that says you are qualified, you are adequate, you are able to share Jesus Christ, and I've entrusted you with that. Now, in midst of much opposition and difficulty and being mistreated, Paul said, man, we've been entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. We're going to honor God. We're going to have love for God. We're going to say, remain faithful to what we're to do, and we're to speak the truth of the gospel. Verse 5, for we never came with flattering speech, or as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is our witness. See, he came in selfless love. He came in sacrificial love. He didn't come for the greed to get anything. He didn't come with flattering speech. He didn't come and with his smooth talker and make people think highly of him. Verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. There's no power trip going on here. Verse 7, but we proved to be gentle among you as nursing mothers tenderly cares for their own children. Mom, how is that? What kind of selfless love is that, Mom, where you tenderly care for your nursing children? They can't do anything. They can't put their shoes on. They can't feed themselves. They can't. They sleep. They eat. And they, the other one. And Dad never, you know, Dad, you do change the diapers. Way to go, Dads. But that's not the whole ball of wax, okay? Do you see his heart? Listen to the word of God. This is the calling of Paul's life. This is a calling, a true calling and a true concern for a pastor to care for the flock in this way, like a mom cares for their children. But then as we apply it to ourselves and we look at our life, as we would care about each other's life and about the people that are in our life, even though it's hard, even though one of my biggest concerns, one of my primary concerns, one of yours, is that we want to have selfless love. We want to care. Look at verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you. Now remember, they're unsaved. You think they're all just sweet people hanging around in Thessalonica? You think they're all just sweet and wonderful and looking, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and they don't have any troubles and no attitudes? This is a pagan world where Christ hasn't been exalted but for 6 months, okay? In a city that is full of pagan worship and prostitution and, okay, these are the people that live there, and he said, we have so fond affection for you. The love of God should have brought in their heart. That's what it is. For you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you have become very dear to us. Man, that's the love of God, isn't it? To bring people in your life that become very dear to you that don't know the Lord. That have all of those hiccups and ugly and spots and wrinkles and barnacles. that we have to overlook and love. And hold out the truth. Yes, we don't say, yeah, we accept you being all those kind of things. We say, no, but God does, through faith in Christ, receive you in. He'll deal with all that. Let me tell you how he dealt with it with me. Look at verse 9. For you recall, brethren, out of labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Verse 10, you are the witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Did you hear what he just said? I only not cared for you as a gentle, to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. I had this selfless love to where I labor and I had hardship and I was devout and upright and blameless and I exhorted encouraging you with all energy just like a dad does. I worked hard at this, just like a dad does in his home. He works hard at taking care of the property, taking care of the kids' needs, taking care of the things that he needs to care, to be exhorting, to be encouraging, to be faithful, devout, and what he needs to be, labor, hardship. He said, so I loved you like a mom and dad does. Again, back to our text, that's why he's talking about it. As parents are responsible for their children, right? See, each of us, God wants that in our life. That's what love looks like. That's what it is. And this is so encouraging because this is what God wants to be a concern in our life. And by the power of God and the work of God, this is how he builds his church. This is how he encourages us to be with each other. Verse 12, why do all this, Paul? So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's a great passage for marriage right there to look at nursing as a mother tenderly cares. We're to do that. We're to have fond affection. We're to do these kind of things to raise our kids because this is what it is, you guys. Now turn your Bibles to Ephesians. We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 5:2. So here Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and we're talking about love and about having one of our true concerns. We would have selfless love like the Lord has. Chapter 4, verse 31, Paul writes this. Are you there with me? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul is talking to the body of Christ, the church family, to us. God is talking to us, and he said this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgiven you. Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, listen, this is what we want to see here and what we want to conclude with. Selfless love is walking with Christ as he loves. It is a sacrifice to God that it's a fragrant aroma that he notices. You see that right there in the text, right? He said that, so walk like Christ walked. And when Christ walked in love, it was a fragrant aroma right up into the God. God the Father, God seeing it, it was smelling sweet. It was wonderful. And he says, we're to do that. We're to live that way as smelling sweet to God. But you can't love this way unless you put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. And if... take note of this. If you have any bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, or malice in your heart that's there, you know why it's there. And let me tell you why. Because your concerns are in the wrong place. Because your primary concerns aren't where God wants them to be. That's just the truth of God's word. When I see bitterness in my heart or wrath or anger or clamor or I'm speaking bad, the ladies talked about gossip, that kind of thing. When I see malice or I don't want somebody to do well or whatever that is, I'm just not for them. That's it. What it is in my heart, God is showing me, Ken, because your concerns, your primary concerns are somewhere else other than what God wants them on, and they're normally about me. My concern is about who thinks of me, how they think of me, what they think of me, how come on this, that's what it's normally on. There's my testimony for you today. But it's revealed, because your concerns aren't godly. They're not where God wants them. You got to own up to that in the Christianity and the Word of God. Bitterness comes because my concerns are not where God wants me to have them. They're not primary. That's here. To love this way sacrificially with selfless love, you have to choose. Look at verse 32. You have to choose to be kind to one another, to be tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also forgiven you. Kindness when nobody deserves kindness. When that person at the store, the person that cut you off the road, or they took the last donut, or they were irritating, or whatever they were, or your spouse was this, or your kids were that, would say, no, Lord, I'm going to put on a heart of kindness. I'm going to be kind here. I'll be responsible. I'll be what God wants me to be, but I'll be kind. I'm going to be tender-hearted. You know what you're tender-hearted toward? Toward each other's difficulties, challenges, faults, and offenses. I'm going to be tender-hearted. Because if I get my focus off, that's the way I am. I'm that way. Yes, we'll hold each other accountable, but we're going to be tender-hearted. And then he says, forgiving each other. Real forgiveness. Love makes no record of wrong or keeps no record of wrong. Forgiveness. You got to have forgiveness. If we're going to love the way God wants us to love. So as we close, ask yourself, are these your primary concerns? And where they're not, ask God to help you. Ask God to lead you. Just these two. Are you concerned to remain faithful, to live the way God calls you to live as a Christian? And is it your primary concern to love sacrificially and selfless like your Lord? Is it? Well, I asked myself that question, and I put some things down, and I recognized some things, and then the Lord again encouraged me with what Paul taught. You have to go to the Lord. Listen, you weren't created or saved to do this by yourself. None of us were. He saved you and reconciled you back into a relationship with God that you would be dependent upon Him. He didn't ask you to do this by yourself. He asked you to do it through Him, with Him, and Him coming in your life. I understand the difficulty here, and that's why it is. It's because each of us are not independent from needing the Lord in all of this. Each of us needs to seek out the Lord in the relationship with Him and hear Him say, my grace is sufficient for you. And power is perfected in weakness, and His power comes through and in our lives through our humble recognition that we need Him. That's what we learned weeks ago, and it's always going to be the conclusion here. Because yes, we can see the way of God and the concerns He wants us to have in the life that He wants us to live. But apart from Him, we can do what?
Nothing.
Well, that rings true every single day. And it's because He knows that we need Him, that He's available for us. He ripped the veil. He made access to Him for everything. We go all the time, every day, for all the things that He wants to do in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this morning and for just the encouragement of this worship service time that You've given us to come before Your table and take communion with You and remember all that Christ has done. And we thank You for the praise songs and for filling our heart with those truths to lift up our voices to You. We thank You for the love within the body of Christ that reaches out and sacrifices for each other, that we're examples of the love of Christ, taking no credit out of our own, Lord, just knowing that in our relationship with You, You have done this in our heart, and we thank You and praise You for Your work there, Lord. And we know, Lord, by Your Spirit bringing conviction and truth to our hearts, what You want us is to come and to seek out You, to enter within the veil, into the holies of holies, into the presence of God, and in our relationship with You, Lord, seek You and Your grace and Your power to work in our life, to change us, to continually grow us, to help us to even desire to remain faithful, and then actually to persevere in representing Christ, and to have love that just pours out of our life, that doesn't seek anything in return. Then you'll know that we are Your disciples when we love like You love. And people can know because that's what You do in our life. We just thank You and praise You for this day. In Christ's name, amen. We're dismissed for this morning.